Although Tammy Brown was eliminated early during the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race, audiences never forgot this oddball drag queen who seemed to be the spiritual love child of Andy Kaufman and Marlena Dietrich.
Of all the queens we've ever had, no one has gotten more requests than Tammy Brown. Probably because no one knows the man inside this wild woman. Until now.
Christmas miracles do happen, and today Tammy Brown joins us for a very special live music session over the phone with her friend, guitarist Michael Keddy.
Listen as Tammy talks about her friendship with Nina Flowers, the origins of her unique style and catchphrases, and all the behind-the-scenes drama that unfolded on Drag Race All Stars.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hello, hi.
Hi, Tammy Brown. This is Fausto Fernos.
And Mark Fillion from Feast of Fun. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great, thank you. I'm a foodie and I love to eat.
Oh, what'd you eat today?
Oh, what did I eat today? I had some tofu mixed in with my eggs. Some delicious, almost vegan, but the eggs were organic. I don't like those chickens without beaks, you know.
Are you a vegetarian drag queen?
Am I a vegetarian drag queen? No, I'm just a multifaceted.
Because I noticed that a lot of the girls tend to, you know, go vegetarian or vegan so they can be bone thin, and so the estrogen levels can skyrocket and they can transition.
Oh, I didn't know that about them. I thought most of them ate a lot of fast food like Carl's Jr. and got colonics in Riverside.
Well, that's the big girls.
That's the big girls. That's what Stacey Lane Matthews says. She's transitioning through junk food.
Oh, really? She said that?
Yeah, she did.
Tammy Brown, what is your animal spirit?
My animal spirit? What would my animal spirit be? What would my animal spirit be, Michael? I'm going to ask my friend Michael, who's sitting here, Michael Caddy, who's my accompanist.
Hi, Michael.
Well, hi, Michael.
They said hello, Michael.
Hello, guys. Chicago, hello.
Hey.
Well, I don't know. I've been told it's a doe, a deer, a doe.
What kind of sound does a deer make?
What kind of sound does a deer? I don't know because I don't go hunting.
I thought you were maybe more like a Mexican eagle perched on top of a cactus going,
oh, that's an Aztec, a Mexican eagle. That's more like Michael's more of an eagle or a butterfly. I would consider myself more of a mermaid.
That's so beautiful. Now, I am surprised that to find out that you were born and raised in Corpus Christi, Texas, like my mom.
Oh, your mom was born there. Farrah Fawcett?
No. Is Farrah Fawcett from Corpus?
Farrah Fawcett is from Corpus Christi, Texas. So is Freddie Fender. And, of course, Selena Quintanilla's.
Yes, they have a statue. We've seen the statue downtown there.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
So you've been down a Shoreline Drive.
You want to hear this funny joke? What was the song Selena was singing the day she got shot?
When she got
shot? I wouldn't know.
Ay, 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 como me duele.
Oh, that's not very nice, and you might get in trouble for saying that.
Every single Mexican person I sing that to or say that to, they laugh hysterically.
Oh.
Except well, for you, I guess. Because your family's from Jalisco, or where are they from?
No, I was born in Corpus Christi, and then I grew up in Mexico. I've also lived in Costa Rica as a wee little tyke, and I remember that at the age of two where my sister was born. And then we lived in, from Costa Rica, we also lived in, we lived in the valley, which is the valley of Corpus, is down from Corpus, the valley. That's in Matamoros area.
Ramos, yeah, that, Matamoros.
No, Matamoros, see. Remember they killed that guy in the 80s down there?
Yeah, that's why we all know about it.
Yeah.
I know.
Who'd they kill? I forget. Mm-hmm. It's kind of famous for something, too, like leather or something, I think, right?
Oh, you mean maybe it's famous for piñatas.
Ah.
Piñatas, lots of dulces. Yum, yum, yum.
Don't you have a song that's like, I'm your piñata, you can beat me with your stick or something?
Oh, it's I'm your love piñata, hit me with your love stick, show me that you want to be my man, dun-dun-dun, I'll be your love piñata. Oh, I'm bursted open with sweet candy emotion. Let's do it again.
Do you ever see that
on iTunes.
Do you ever, dress up like a piñata and burst open for your audience and feed them candy, or...
Well, I don't have one of those supernatural powers.
It would be really nice, though, you know.
Build the set.
Well, thank you.
Hey,
you might get a bunch of guts.
Tell us about being on All Stars. It must have been a thrill to get a second chance at RuPaul's Drag Race and being on All Stars. How did you prepare for the show?
Well, to prepare for the show, I contacted, I contacted people in the wardrobe industry, first of all, to get the right clothes and wigs as well.
Really?
And things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had to do it incognito, of course.
How many costumes did you prepare for the show, and did you expect to go all the way?
I prepared all of the costumes, actually, and I even prepared all this lingerie and all this stuff. I was prepared to go all the way, actually.
You prepared lingerie?
Of course.
Oh,
you
we
can
didn't
see me wearing it, too, on one of the videos at Mickey's Showgirls for the song Umanamana. Manamanamana.
Do, 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 do.
Yes, correct.
The Manamana song from the Muppets?
Yeah,
that's the one, but there's a disco version I found. And
really?
I performed it at Mickey's.
What part of the... do you do the scat version, or do you do the backup female voices?
I do the female voice, of course.
So who does the scat, the manamana?
Oh, the version I have doesn't really have much of a scat version like that. It just has more of the female voice. Manamana, mana. Oh, manamana, manamana, mana, like that.
Oh, wow. I'd love to see that. So
you
prepared
can see it Showgirls Mickey's on YouTube as well.
I'll definitely check that out. So tell us about all the costumes that you made. Like, how many did you make and how much? I mean, I don't want to go into your finances, but like, because a lot of queens or potential queens are thinking about being on the show would listen to this. How much money did you spend on costumes you never got to wear?
Well, the thing is, I really didn't have to buy anything. Everything was on loan to me.
Mm. Oh, that's good. So you like went and said, I'm going to do a very special show. Can I borrow something?
Of course. And they gave me a box over $2,000 worth of lingerie. It was such a huge crate, actually, of lingerie for someone who he designs for Victoria's Secret and all those different companies. He gave me all this stuff. His name is Willie, and then he gave me a bunch of stuff. And then Dusty Cunningham really hooked me up with a lot of things as well from his archive of garments. And then for his photo shoots and everything. And I work with Dusty Cunningham a lot, as well as Jose H. And then Colon, you know, Jose mm-hmm. Colon. Mm-hmm. And then, but Dusty and also David Shefflin provides a lot of things for me with Vintage Fashion Inc. He's provided a lot of things. And he gives me all these couture pieces. Like, he's actually given me Bob Mackie and other things like Yves Saint Laurent and other things, Karl Lagerfeld and other things like that.
Sweet. And they fit.
And they fit, of course, yes. Sometimes some things don't fit, but we just send them back and get another one.
I'd be a little hard-pressed to fit into a Yves Saint Laurent ball gown, I think.
Well, that's a couture one, then it'll be made to order, right?
Yeah, that's true.
How many people does it take to create Tammy Brown? I mean, it's besides you, it's like you have a style expert, a hair guy, a photography guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very fortunate to where I have the potential to accumulate or be around all these wonderful people that want to help out with the process in creating or in contributing to my art and to what I'm doing. For example, Denny Marquez, he does my hair a lot at Salon Pop. He'll actually do my hair and sometimes my wigs, and he does my natural do's. I have my friend Michael that I create music with. He's here. Dusty Cunningham and I are constantly working on photo shoots, or I have an idea for a video. He dives into it 100%, maybe 110%, and puts his whole heart into doing it. And then I have Rod Barroso, who's my creative partner, who I'm writing with, who I write songs with, or he'll write songs for me and give them to me. So it's just like I've accumulated this circle, sort of a production company.
And do you guys like sit around and like brainstorm things by, I don't know, throwing a dice and say, okay, I want to be, you know, wear blue in this kind of costume today? Or,
well, I'm not so much into themes, so I really don't like themes. What a disgusting! I don't know why I don't like them, but I just don't. But if there's an idea, it'll be given to me, or a garment will be given to me, and I make it work. Or a song is given to me, and I'll put the song together.
It seems a lot of your style inspiration is kind of like that, like 30s, 40s glamour diva from Hollywood.
Well, that sort of just came along with when I started studying makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 years ago, I studied makeup the first time, and they did my face. And then we were training, and I did my face. And then from there, we went on to... then it's just kind of the clothes kind of came my way as well. And then I have this classic look when I paint. So, mm-hmm. And the clothes were given to me, a lot of vintage clothes, so that's why it kind of just looks that way a lot.
I can't decide whether you're more like Marlene Dietrich or Greta Garbo when I look at you. Would you identify with one of them?
I like them both. I love Greta Garbo, and I love Marlene Dietrich, and I love Joan Crawford, and I read the Swanson book, Swanson on Swanson, and I love Betty Davis as well, and I think that it's kind of sad that Betty Davis was always told that she wasn't the prettiest thing when she actually isn't bad-looking at all, and she is pretty and unique-looking, in my opinion.
She was an intense beauty.
She was an intense beauty.
I'm just kind of, right now, the listeners and us are a little bit surprised at how chill and together you are, considering that on RuPaul's Drag Race, you were well-known for your non-sequiturs and outbursts like, Teletubby, teleport us to Mars.
Well, you see, on the TV show, I'm not going to play into that game of being negative, so I have to make sound bites and I have to make things for good TV, so I have to do it on my own. And if they think I'm wacky, well, that's what I'm going to give them, is wacky doodle, you know what I mean?
So do you feel like you were playing into their expectations of you being kind of strange?
Or thwarting your expectations?
Doing what? Exploiting? Yes, I exploited it. I mean, why not? If the Hollywood machine needs some grease, let me give it a little bit.
Elbow grease. But, I mean, what did you mean by saying that Nina Flowers' panties are made out of grass?
Oh, that's because they were playing that game, put it in the butt, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, if we're people, some you know, Pentecostal sitting there watching this, damning us to hell, well, let's play put it in the butt so that we don't get anywhere, any gay marriage or anything, because they're not going to want to support people like us, sinful people. You know, why are we doing this? Putting ourselves, you know, putting this out there if that's what they're going to be watching and judging us on, right?
I'm still kind of confused after all these years when you were on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1 and you were talking about, I don't see you walking children in nature, and I'm like, what? And I think some people are still kind of confused about that.
Well, I said to them, I said, I don't see you walking children in nature, and I said, and taking care of old ladies, because I was doing a charity work here in Long Beach, here in Los Angeles, the Children's Nature Institute, which takes kids from the concrete jungle and takes them out on walks so they can connect with nature. Mm-hmm. And then I also take care of friends and older, well, a lot of my young men friends, they'd be like, oh, you hang out with such old ladies all the time. Well, I've hung out with people of all ages. It's always been that way. And I take care of them and, you know, whatever, help my friends out. So I threw that in there as well. But they cut that out and just put walking children in nature. And in fact, I'm working on a song that's going to have that in the song too.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Are you a nature lover?
I do like nature.
Well, it's just kind of like, it strikes me that, I mean, I gotta say, I'm a little bit surprised and pleasantly surprised that you're so chill in person. I guess, do you feel like the producers of the show kind of portrayed you in a way that was, were you shocked at how eccentric you came across on the show?
Well, I am eccentric. That's, you know, I've always been crazy and natural. I'm zany and, you know, I'm real, but... No,
I know crazy people, and you're not that crazy.
Oh, thank you. But crazy sticks to me like ribs, right?
I speak fluent crazy, so don't feel like you... And you also are bilingual, too.
Sí.
Hablas español.
I thought the Spanish was an act.
Mande?
I thought the Spanish was an act when you...
Oh, no, it's not an act. And I'm trying to push more of the Spanish because there's a huge Latin market, and why not capitalize on it? Benefit.
Pesos converting to dollars.
Well, yes, of course, and I'd rather have dollars invested pesos.
¿Tú has hecho algunos shows en Puerto Rico con Nina Flowers? Have you done any shows in Puerto Rico with Nina Flowers?
Todavía no ha hecho shows en Puerto Rico con Nina Flowers. I still haven't done shows in Puerto Rico with Nina Flowers yet. No.
¿Y por qué no? Why not?
Porque no me han invitado, because they haven't invited me.
Dime algo de tu amistad con Nina Flowers. Tell me about your friendship with Nina Flowers.
Mi amistad con Nina Flowers, pues. Well, my love with Nina Flowers, or friendship with Nina Flowers, así pasó porque somos amigos y a ella le gusta que ella es mi amiga. Siempre nos caemos bien. Los dos somos como espirituales. We're both spiritual. We just carry on well, and we really
hermanas
like each other.
Espiritual.
Cuando tú hablas con Nina Flowers, ¿hablas en español o en inglés?
Oh, cuando hablo con Nina Flowers, when I talk with Nina Flowers,
yes.
En español. y también inglés. I speak to her in Spanish and in English.
¿Quién habla el otro idioma mejor? Who speaks the other language better? Is Nina's Flower English better than your Spanish?
Nina Flowers se está mejorando en el inglés. Nina Flowers she's improving on her English. Mm.
I love the way she goes, tatos. I have all these tatos. It's so much fun.
We both picked each other, which was brilliant because it was like we weren't odd ducks out. And I looked at her before we were picking, and we were standing next to each other. And I looked at her and I said, esto me vale. And I said, this doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
And then we ended up picking each other because it's all a game, you know, it's not real.
Esto no vale.
Esto no vale.
What did you think of when you guys had that celebrity challenge and you picked Tammy Faye Baker and she picked La Lupe and nobody knew who La Lupe was?
Well, I kind of knew that was going to happen, but I got to support my colleague here, so whatever works. And I also know it's a good thing because people are going to learn who La Lupe is that don't know who she is.
I still haven't Googled her.
You haven't? She's
I
really
will.
Everybody knows who. Listen, if you're Latino and gay, it's like you know who La Lupe is. Sandra Bernhardt sang a song about La Lupe.
She gets around that Sandra Bernhardt.
Mm. Well, she likes Latina pussy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tootsie fruitsy, huh?
Do you feel like you got? I mean, because you in other interviews, you feel like you said you felt you got no love from the judges, Michelle Visage and Santino, and they were like judging you too harshly, and you felt like, I mean, what else could they do?
Well, they can say nice things because what goes around comes around. And when you're sitting in the hospital dying of cancer, don't call on me.
Well, you kind of gave a little bit of it back to Michelle Visage and called her out and said she had a makeup line, like her makeup line stopped somewhere on her neck.
Oh, well, actually, I said if you would like me to read, I'll read the line on your neck.
Oh.
And because, you know, have you written any good books? I would like to read some. The library is open and I have some books to return. How about that?
And then later
How about this one? Uh-huh. I'm writing a book. And I want to make sure everybody sounds good in it.
Awesome. And later on in Untucked, you said that somebody else in the makeup room had a makeup line too, but you wouldn't say who it was.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say who this person is. And actually, this person has actually been attacking me. And this person is the one that I made that line up for several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody was, I have a good friend out here named Phyllis Navidad. And Phyllis is all, oh, Tammy, you're reading. And I'm all, no, I'm not. But then I thought about this person and what a jerk they are, and I was like, all right, if you want me to read, I'm gonna tell you about the line around your neck or the line on your neck, you know.
So one of
that's
those
how that came about.
So were you mad when Chad Michaels won then?
Was I mad when Chad? No, I wasn't mad. No, I'm happy for him.
So it's not Chad Michaels who okay, just clearing up that. What's the guitar in the background?
What is it?
Yeah.
Oh, the guitar in the background. That's Michael playing for us, serenading.
Aww. That's so beautiful.
Are you going to sing us a song today, Tammy?
Yes, of course. I'll sing you 2, 3.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
We'll
it's Christmas with Tammy Brown.
What is it?
It's Christmas morning, and you're the present. Do I have to unwrap it before I use it?
Well, you know, it's up to you.
I practice safe sex, so I keep things wrapped.
That's good. You all want to practice that.
Because there are some gifts you don't want to get.
Well, some people like to chase them, you know?
Gift chasers. What's the first song you're going to do for us?
The first song I'm going to do for you is in Spanish. And I've been duetting and working a lot with Michael Caddy. And he's going to be going on the road with me here. And we've been going on the road, and sort of like a Kiki and Herb duet, I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Kiki and Herb?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
Justin Bond and Kenny Melman, right? They're alter egos.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're going to do one for you. It's called Amigos Son Héroes. I'm sorry, Amigos Son Héroes. And it's going to be in Spanish. And
Friends are heroes.
Friends are heroes, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listeners, if you don't understand the lyrics, just hit the Google Translate button on the on your browser, and hopefully it'll in the future it'll translate the lyrics for you. Not today, but...
That's correct, when you're sitting there, tuning in. And if you're driving and listening, please be careful.
Yes, because the emotions will get pretty intense here, I can imagine.
Oh, well, and also, you don't want to text and drive.
That's true.
And Oprah will send her goons after you.
You know, that's funny that you said that. I thought about Oprah's warning about that.
Uh-huh. I even went to one of the shoots here.
For
in
what?
LA. For the no texting thing she did one morning. We're trying to go talk to the producers so I could meet Tina Turner on the Oprah show. That's another story, though. All right, are we ready?
I'm ready. Let's get it.
I said, are we ready?
Yeah!
Yeah, girl!
All right, Groovy, here we go. Amistad tan gigante, amigos son héroes, nudo de cariño, montón de amor, flechados en la brisa, arriba y arriba, tristeza con risa, viviendo la vida, hermanos de la guardia, siempre en mente a mi lado, con fe y paz, se separa un lado al otro, la vida es nuestra, entre cadenas de amor, sentidos humanos, cadenas de amor, entre tú y yo. Reflejando lo que es dando, alma a alma, montón de amor, echados en la brisa, arriba y arriba, tristeza con risa, ves y cuando, amistad tan gigante, amigos son héroes, nudo de cariño, montón de amor, flechados en la brisa, arriba y arriba, tristeza con risa. De amor entre tú y yo, reflejando lo que es dando, alma a alma, montón de amor, flechados en la brisa, arriba y arriba, tristeza con risa. There you go.
Yay. You're such a sweet person, Tammy.
Aww. It was Mountains.
Thank you.
What were some of the lyrics? Arriba y Arriba.
Everybody knows that because of Speedy Gonzalez.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mountains of Love. And then there was Winds of... Brisa's is Winds, right?
Yes.
Winds of... I don't catch the other part.
And here, I'm going to have Michael do the translation for you. He's so much better at it. Is that okay?
Yeah,
that's fine.
Here's Michael Caddy. Thank you.
You see the...
Hello, guys.
Sorry, I was tricking the audience into thinking.
Here's a little bit of the translation.
Okay.
It goes, en vez y cuando, every once in a while, amistad tan gigante, friendship so giant, friends are heroes, knot of affection, mountain of love, arrows in the breeze, up, up, sadness with a laugh, living the life, guardian brothers, always at my side, with faith and peace. They separate from one side to the other. Life is ours. In between chains of love and human feelings. Chains of love in between you and I, reflecting what it is giving soul to soul. That's the word.
Aww.
Snap your fingers, audience.
It's like beat poetry.
Yeah. Are you guys going to be touring like the Guatemalan coffee shops?
I would love to. They have really great coffee in Guatemala. I actually had the privilege to try it at a coffee stand on the side of a dirt road there once.
And they have some pretty good refreshments in the Colombian coffee shops, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Mate de coca.
They have, what?
Coca tea.
I think it's
Have you ever actually drank in cocaine tea made
out
of cocaine leaves?
Yeah, but it's coca leaf tea. They don't make it in the cocaine, and it's right. actually really good for your digestion and...
Oh, I could use some right now, baby.
Yeah, they recommended it to me when I was in the Andes for altitude sickness, and the only thing like I felt like it really did for me was it made me not want to eat.
Oh, so. Yeah, it kind of takes away your hunger, though.
Yeah, and so you're just like, But it's a beautiful song. It's so nice to hear a song that's like written about like friendship. I mean, there's so many love songs out there, but I think it's so important to celebrate your friends.
Yeah, and it's still a love song because we have love between our friends. So.
Right. But not that romantic,
yeah,
sexual
not that
love.
Kind of love.
Do you guys have a song that's like, up, up and away in my beautiful balloon?
We had some up, up and away songs. Here, we have some cover songs,
do,
too.
Do you have one in English?
Song.
So, for, yeah, so our, in English. Our bilingual
we have
listeners
a
don't
Dottie West and Kenny Rogers cover song.
Oh, wow.
Would you guys like to hear it?
I would.
But not all of it.
Okay,
you can play all of it.
Okay. The whole thing.
Yay! Just play the parts that where the singing happens.
All right. Well, there'll be some short like here we go.
Take out all the silent parts out and then make a compressed.
All right, well, here
version.
We go. Dottie West, Kenny Rogers, Dottie West. When you made love to me tonight, I felt as if I'd died and gone to heaven. If that's the way it feels to die, then baby, in your arms I'm through with living. I'll get down on my knees and thank the good Lord up above that I'm the lucky gal you chose to love.
And I'm sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight. So if you think I'm bragging, well, you're right. Your love has set me flying and I'm higher than a kite. And I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight.
You got the kind of body that was made to give a man a lot of pleasure. But what you've given me tonight is more than anything on earth can measure. Every inch of you that's woman makes me that much more a man. I've just about enjoyed all I could stand.
So if you think I'm bragging, well, you're right. Your love has sent me flying and I'm higher than a kite. And I feel sorry for anyone who isn't me tonight.
Michael Caddy, Tammy Brown, Michael Caddy.
Yeah.
Fabulosa.
I'm glad that you reminded us who the guitarist's name is because I did forget.
That's Michael Caddy, and that's it.
How do you spell that?
Michael, and then Catti.
Caddy. And because and you're not a caddy queen, though. You don't like to talk negative about anybody.
No, I try not to talk negative about anybody, but, you know, there's always room for improvement, right?
So when you and Nina Flowers got kicked off the show, did you guys ever, like, blame each other or, like, say, or did you internalize it all and say, oh, it was me? No, it was me who got us kicked off.
No, we just, you know what? It's fake. I mean, we support each other. I mean, we support each other. We wouldn't change it. I'm so happy I picked her, and she's happy she picked me. No,
I'm curious because you were there in the when the, all the queens sort of started ganging up on Mimi. I'm first, and
correct.
You kind of see how Mimi. I'm first and and Pandora Box were kind of, you know, at odds with each other as a team. Right. And then even after they got kicked off, there was a subtle underneath current that they were kind of blaming each other for that.
Well, you know, that's just what happened with them. I mean, that didn't happen. I mean, I could have worked with anybody, I think, and made it work. I kept having these bizarre dreams. I had two or three of them where Chanel and I were competing on a show together before the show.
Really?
Yeah, and I would have picked her, but I figure she would have picked, Chad Michaels, of course. And then, of course, Raven and I get along really well as well, and we have a strong connection, and we've been working together for a long time. But I knew she would have picked Juju Bean. That's her nickname for me, mm-hmm. Juju Bean, and which I have a whole slew of nicknames. But that's another story, another conversation. And just I would have made anything work, you know, with whoever I had to work with, because that's what I was there to do.
It seemed like on the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race, you were forced to lip sync for your life, and you just kind of gave up, and Ru was just like, well, Tammy, you forced my hand. I kind of have to send you home. And it seemed like you gave up. Did it seem like, do you have any regrets about that?
No regrets at all. I mean, I didn't want to sing that song. That song was so boring. Give mm-hmm. me a break. I wasn't breaking a dawn with that. I was actually going to sleep.
But I guess that, you know, for us at home watching you and who are fans of what you do, it was a little bit disheartening that our hero had thrown in the towel just because she didn't like the song.
Yeah, well, your hero was being pushed around a whole lot.
So there was other stuff happening that we didn't get to see.
Well, of course. Haven't you ever seen the movie Tootsie?
I have seen the movie Tootsie. I absolutely adore the movie Tootsie.
Well, then that's one of my heroes, and then she would stand up for herself too, Dorothy Kimberly, and tell him how the cow eats the cabbage, right?
So you would have gone to the camera and taken your wig off and say, "I'm a man."
Oh no, that was to get out of the show. I had my top had already fallen off. Remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. And you know, when you're on that show, it's not easy because. And if you notice, RuPaul doesn't say nasty things like he was on the first season. If you can see the first season, which you can't, which is such a pity.
Why can't you see the first season?
Because of the music. I believe there's something going on. The rumor has it, and even the World of Wonder won't even really tell us why, but they've mm-hmm. said, snickered about it. It has something to do with the music rights.
Oh, because they try and sell it on song. iTunes and Netflix, and you have to pay for that kind of stuff.
Yes, and they should just do it. I mean, they're going to make the money. I don't see what the big deal is. But they have those big Britney Spears songs. And let me tell you what, I choreographed myself to those Britney Spears songs, even though I didn't really like them. But I had things all choreographed. And they had given us Break the Dawn literally maybe within the 24-hour period that we had to create this whole look and everything, choreography and everything else. So it wasn't so easy. Mm. And I didn't have a feel for it. And I like to have a feel for what I'm doing as far as music goes.
And so you think Tootsie is your drag inspiration?
Who?
Tootsie.
Oh, of course. Dorothy Kimberly. Dorothy Michaels. Yes.
I just discovered that Tootsie is actually, it's Polari. It's a gay slang from like the 1800s, and it's for a bottom. So if you say Tootsie Trade is when two bottoms get together.
Oh, Tootsie Trade. So they're versatile bottoms then?
No, they just kind of like, I don't know what they're going to do.
They're bouncing just, on
they're
each other's
butts. Pussies.
Bumping pussies. Bumping pussies. What about Tammy? Where'd you get your name, Tammy Brown, though? Because initially I was reading that you wanted to use your boy name.
Yes, correct. I wanted to use my birth name, and which is a great name.
What is your name, boy name?
My name, and I don't want people listening out there don't come up to me and say, "Oh, hey, Glenn, how are you?" or "Hey, Keith, how are you?" Mm-mm. You call me Mr. Brown, please, and give me the respect I'm entitled to, just like Joan Crawford or Tina Turner, because nobody goes up to Tina and calls her Anna Mae, do they?
No.
But my birth name is Keith Glenn Schubert, and I was going to have the name Glenn Schubert, and I had even created a slogan for myself, GS as it is. And then when I started doing drag in high school, I was of age and I could go to the clubs. They said I needed a drag name. But I had just read the RuPaul book, and I was like, RuPaul's RuPaul. Why would I, you know? But anyway, so...
That's how I felt, too.
You felt the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it really confused people, because I had an exotic name that sounded kind of Asian, Fausto.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they were like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, that's my real name.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
Thank you. But you felt you caved into peer pressure in Corpus Christi, the birthplace of Selena, and you came up with Tammy Brown.
Yes, I came up with Tammy Brown on a whim, genius, on the way to the club that night, actually. I was doing three-way, and the caller ID actually said Bob Brown. And I thought to myself in my head, why does the caller ID say Bob Brown? You know, what an ugly name for her mom, but I didn't realize it was her stepdad's name. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I told the friend that we that we did the three-way to his phone there.
Yeah.
I said, well, I can change the caller ID to say Tammy Brown. So I went to the club and I was Tammy Brown. And it's great. Once upon a time, it was going to be Esmeralda. And then I knew that Tina Turner was given a name, and then I loved Tootsie. So once upon a time, another time, in another far, far away land of Mathis, Texas, it was going to be Tootsie Turner.
Hot. Oh, I like Tootsie Turner, too.
Mm-hmm. And then they would say, Tootsie Turner, baby, put it on the big burner.
Well, so no one owns your name like Ike Turner owned Tina Turner, and so you don't have to sue them while you're getting a divorce to get your name.
No, because there's a fabulous photographer out there, and her name is Tammy Brown as well, and every time if you Google Tammy Brown, she pops up.
Is there like a legal thing? And you know, I just kind of thought about this, but like, do drag queens get paid with their drag names? Do you have a doing business as account in your bank?
I can, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay, so because if someone wrote you a check as Tammy Brown, would you be able to cash it?
It's happened before where I've had to do that in the bank. Thank goodness I had a friend that was a teller there. She fixed it for me, but
she's like, "Oh, honey, don't you worry." And like, "Oh, all it takes is to say that this name is my drag name."
And then by the end of it, they had invited me to their corporate party, so it worked out.
Wow, you went to your bank's corporate party in drag?
Oh, you better believe it! And the eggnog was so good.
Does RuPaul ever call you to chit-chat, or do you ever stay in touch with any of the production crew or the judges or even RuPaul after the show? I know all the queens hang out because you guys are all working and performing together.
RuPaul's nice when I see him. I mean, he was DJing at one of the World of Wonder Christmas parties, and he actually got off out of the DJ booth and came down and greeted me. And but, you know, I am in contact with Theron there and then other people that work behind the scenes that are my fans and some of the editors. But and yesterday I went in to work with Damiana Garcia, who does interviews, and we're doing a Christmas special.
Awesome.
She did, huh?
When will that be out?
That should be out before the 25th, within the week or so.
Ooh,
Michael Lucid, who does Damiana Garcia, is like, yes. He is a machine, a video editing drag queen machine.
Yes.
Because for anybody who doesn't realize, it's like putting on all that drag, then hauling your video camera, and then coordinating all that stuff, and then racing back home to edit something down to have it in a timely manner is not an easy feat.
That's the truth.
You know?
That's why we say, you go, girl.
Yeah. So your first appearance on reality TV was with Tammy Faye Messner on The Surreal Life.
That's correct. That was my first walk-on.
Tell us about that, because I didn't. I don't remember seeing you, but it's like now there's video footage of Shad Michaels as Cher on Mad TV with Mrs. Swan that's being circled around the internet, and you're like, oh my god, I've seen that. I never thought that was Shad Michaels.
And then I was also on How Clean Is Your House with Kim and Aggie.
Did they come into your house and look how clean your house was?
Well, actually, it was when I was working with Stacey Lee Biggs. She's in my Clam Happy video, and she's also responsible for my first album, Popcorn, Stacey Lee Biggs.
Mm-hmm.
She's on Tiger Lily and so many of the songs, the Tammy Brown Blues and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we would go to casting. We would go do things in Hollywood, different shows, and then this casting agent for Durano Fierce, which was actually working in the same building that World of Wonder's in on Hollywood and Cherokee, she would have us come in for auditions for different shows. And really liked what we were doing, so then she pitched the How Clean Is Your House to Stacey, and Stacey had me come on as pretending that I live on her couch as Mr. Brown. And then we did songs, we were the musical May family. Ceiling fan goes round and round, throwing dust on the ground. Shine, silverware, shine, shine, silverware, shine. Things like that.
I hear you are working on a variety show. I got a perfect title for you, and you can use it free of charge from us.
Okay.
You got it? So it's a Tammy Brown variety show. Call it 50 Shades of Brown.
50 Shades of Brown. But I was also... Thank you so much. Thank you.
Consider
but
it. Also, are you going to do it? Can we?
50 Shades of Brown. You can hear it now here in Chicago.
I think it's a good good town, good name for our show, even. The 50 Shades of Tammy Brown.
Well, thank you. I'll have to clear that with Kelly Mantle, who I'm working with as well.
That's awesome. And when can we expect to see that?
Well, the variety show is coming along. I got to get with Kelly and Michael and find out when this is going to happen. I told them both that I would like to take a trip from here in California, from Southern California, all the way up to other parts of Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco, where I have a following, and do some stuff with them. But I do know that the Tammy Brown Musical Review is going to be at Alex's Bar February 10th. That's the first show, and then the 26th of March will be here in Long Beach, California.
How about this for a Valentine's Day show? Love is brown.
Love is brown. That's why I got a brown paper sack over my face.
We actually have some fun questions from our listeners on the website. James Mansfield wants to know, I love Tammy's old Hollywood women's pictures flair. Is there any chance of seeing Tammy Brown's beautiful Tallulah Bankhead face on stage in a play? Are you working on a play, or have you been approached by people to be in a play?
I've been approached to do plays before. There was one here that I was approached to do, but I didn't really like it once I got going with it. It was a little too vulgar. I don't really like doing those parodies or spoofs on things. I'd rather kind of keep it more real.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said the Hollywood long story would be nice.
Mm.
You'd be good at that.
Yeah, you have Holly's look.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually Holly's a big supporter of Tammy Brown, and so is Charles Bush, so is Coco Peru, and then Jackie Beat, and I'm good friends with Lady Bunny now.
Aww.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful. She always talks about the lining in my coffin.
Why?
Because I'm going to die.
One day you're going to be dead, and I'll be performing at your funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Lamro asks, how does she feel about the other queen, how the other queens treated Mimi?
I don't think it was fair how they treated Mimi. Mimi's a really talented character, and they had to use someone to really pick on, so they used Mimi, of course. And she doesn't get enough credit for who she is or what she is. Mind you, she's a little different on her communication skills, but, you know, a little awkward sometimes, but she's really talented, and I like her.
I felt like it was an ugly moment in the show that I think it's not necessarily that made the queens look bad, but made the producers look bad by making the decision to show such a ugly side of this usually jubilant competition.
Right.
Well,
the producers want it to be ugly because that makes good TV.
Right. And those kinds of things do happen in real life. Sometimes people do pick on other people in that
setting. I would really get crazy. I mean, I would stand up for her, and I think a lot more of us would too, hopefully, if that was really happening backstage. Mm.
Did you stand up for her when it happened, or were you guys so shocked that
they didn't show this, but Mimi, I told Raven and Jujubee, I said, you two brought this in here. You need to finish it. And they didn't show me saying that. And because they did that, they brought that drama in there. And Chad and I knew it was escalating. Chad was pacing behind me, and he came behind me and massaged my back for a minute and was going kind of crazy, and could feel it building. And I went really crazy, but they didn't show that either.
What did you do?
I started running around the room and jumped on the table.
Were you barking?
I was barking, yes. I was angry, and I said your father beat Marlena Dietrich, because one of the producers, I was talking to her, but they edited it to where it said that my father beeped Marlena Dietrich. And do you know how old young my father would have been if he beeped Marlena Dietrich? Oh, my God.
Well, that's why a lot of it came across as non-sequiturs. That's a reason why a lot of this came across as non-sequiturs, is because you were edited so harshly.
Well, I'm glad about the way they edited it. I think it's great. One-liners.
Mm-hmm. So you're telling me one of the producers' fathers beat up Marlena Dietrich?
One of the fathers, if you want to call it beat up, one of the producers, her father was an actor from the 30s, and you can look him up. And he was in films with Marlene Dietrich and worked in Hollywood, and he's in all these Hollywood films. And he had a mage a trois with Marlene Dietrich. And that was, she came in and told me all these wonderful stories in my dressing room in the in one of the days before we were filming. And because people open up to me and always talk, they always will and they always do. Mm-hmm. So she told me all her secrets. Well, I was like, all right, I'm going to pull some of your own cards on you now. Because they're the ones instigating all this stuff.
So her father didn't beat up Marlene Dietrich?
Her father had sex with Marlene Dietrich.
Okay.
Well, beat her up with his penis.
Well, her father, well, also that producer, her boyfriend was an alcoholic, and she didn't know it until he crashed the car with her in it, and he died, of course, in the hospital, tragic death, you know, and she was left with a broken hip. But I was also going to pull that card on her, too, and yell at across the room as well, because if you want to play, let's play.
Is that Chanel that you're talking about?
No, it's not okay. Chanel.
Tam Zendane wants to know, hi, Tammy with an I-E. You exhibit so much old school diva realness. For us children who are undereducated, could you recommend 3 or more films so we can begin to understand all your fabulous references? Thanks for being you. It was great to see how much you have grown since season 1, All Stars. All the best for a new year, Sendane.
Well, thank you, Donnie. Well, tell Donnie first watch the movie Tootsie.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, which turned the light on for me at the age of 14, 15, was What's Love Got to Do With It, the Tina Turner story. And then why don't you watch Possessed, the 1940s version with Joan Crawford.
Possessed.
Oh, I want to see that one. I don't even know that movie exists.
Yeah, it's really good. There's 2 Possessed. There's the 1930s version, and there's with Clark Gable and Joan Crawford, and then there's the 1940s, and that's the one to watch.
Why did the movie What's Love Got to Do With It, the biography of Tina Turner, why did it strike a chord with you so much?
Well, first of all, it was her energy, and I was so into the dancing.
Well, that was the actress who portrayed her in the film, Angela Bassett.
Yes, Angela Bassett.
Because I feel like it was a bit of a ripoff, because Angela Bassett did such an amazing job, and then at the very end of the film, they cut to the real Tina Turner, and you're like, fuck, you know, all this time I'm like mentally, made the adjustment that Angela Bassett is Tina Turner, and then they show the real Tina Turner, and it's kind of like a fuck you to Angela Bassett.
Well, it's like getting splashed with cold water or something.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't think there was anything wrong with it. The only thing that I think is they could have done better with the wigs, and now there's a Broadway version in England, too, that's doing really good, and they could have done better with the wigs as well.
Because you're kind of a wig fetishist, huh?
Huh? I love wigs. I believe in wigs. One day I'll have a musical called I Believe in Wigs.
What was your first wig?
My first wig I got when I was in Mexico at the age of 10, and I looked through the yellow pages there and found out where I could get a wig, and my mom told me, she said, all right, I'll take you get a wig, but I'm not going to get you a girl's wig. I'll get you a boy's wig. And I was versatile. I said, whatever, I want a wig. So I got my, she took
How
me
old
down
were
and got
you?
My first wig.
How old were you at this time?
I was, must have been 10, 10 or 11.
Yeah, I remember like putting on my wig and my dad yanking it off of my head and said, boys, don't play with wigs. And I was like crying. Well,
then you should have said, Dad, I hope you're not bald later on.
He is bald.
Cancer up there.
He was bald.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe he has a wig phobia.
It was the curse.
Well, I mean, because also so did your dad, was he cool with you as a 10-year-old boy, like putting on a wig?
Oh, my dad was just doing his own thing, surfing and whatever, and he didn't really know what I was really, I didn't know. He didn't really understand what I was doing, but whatever. I did what I wanted to do.
Because you're surprisingly hot as a guy out of drag.
Thank you.
And, I don't say that about all queens. Because some of them...
Thank
but,
you.
But do you shave your eyebrows, or how do you manage to, like... Because one of the things I notice that gets in the way, that cock blocks a lot of the drag queens when they're out of drag, is the fact that they don't have any eyebrows.
Oh.
And I notice that you
like
keep
that
yours.
Kind of David Bowie fetish. But my eyebrows, I cover them up, or sometimes I wear a headband around them, or sometimes I'll just wear them plain out. I mix it all around, but the way I get mine down is I do a trick that Raven taught me, is I take a glue stick. First, you'll take a cotton swab, and then you'll rub your eyebrow with the alcohol and a cotton swab, clean it off, and then let it dry, and then, which might be a little harsh for you. I don't do that, but you can do that too. And then you'll take a glue stick, the purple one preferably, and go the opposite direction, and you have your eyebrows look like Oscar the Grouch. Then you take a flat makeup comb, and then you brush up, and then glue over that again, and then you glue over that again, and then you glue over again. Each time it's setting, you know, maybe 2 minutes, so the glue dries. And then you take a wet cloth and go around the outside parts of the eyebrow, and then so there's no buckling or all this, you know, buckle from the glue. And then you'll paint over that with the foundation, cream foundation preferably.
I love that we just learned how to do our eyebrows like Raven and Tammy Brown right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks
well,
for that.
Well, you can also, there's a MySpace message that was MySpace. Yes, it's still up. I don't know the password. Delete it. I don't even know how to get in. But it's on there on my Tammy Brown, Keith Glenn Schubert, Tammy Brown. There's a how to do.
Because I got some bushy brows. I don't know if they do it.
And it works different for everybody. Sometimes it's the chemistry of the body on how the makeup works. So it's not going to be the same for everybody, I'm noticing, because some people try the trick and it doesn't actually work for them all the way.
Hmm.
So that's why some queens just say, fuck it, I'm just going to shave off my eyebrows.
Yeah, some people are going to have their and look like Boris Karloff. And now I'm quoting a Tom Petty song.
So do you have a boyfriend or are you seeing somebody right now?
No boyfriends, no, not yet.
So do you go on dates when you're touring and traveling?
Well, no one-night stands, oh Lord, what a pest. And I'm not into that drunkenized, oh my God. I've seen some of these guys that I was like drunkenized, and I was like, oh God, thank goodness I didn't do anything with them. you know, dating is open, and I don't have a problem. Like, when I meet guys that I meet, I don't have the problem like, oh, they like me in drag and they like me out of drag. They like me both ways. Which has always been a benefit for me. And I know that's kind of a stigma in the drag world. Oh, you know, he doesn't like me because I do drag or blah, blah. I always find the kind of guys that like it both ways, which is cool.
So if you find a really hot guy and he's like, no, keep the wig on, you'll be like, okay, let's go for it.
I'm going to say, you know, it's going to cost you.
So there's a fee. It's free for a small fee.
Because it's work.
That's true. Tammy, you know, Brown, it's so good to talk to you and
thank you.
And really like get to know you better. I feel like you know, you're sort of like lifted the cloud of secrecy and mystery that surrounds you.
The veil.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful, you know, it's kind of like when the fog lifts in San Francisco's Bay and you get to see the bridge and you see all the happy people having their little snacks by the Bay Area. That's how I feel about you.
Thank you.
Your guitarist is kind of getting itchy back there. You have another song to leave us with?
Oh, I have another song to leave you? Sure.
Awesome.
Which one should we do, Michael?
Do a fast one, an upbeat one.
An English, a fast one. What can we do fast?
And end with, Ipa, Ipa, Ipa!
Arriba!
How about we do this one? It's called La Telaraña.
Okay.
And this is about a spider and its beautiful web and how its kisses are like little kisses of death.
Oh
my goodness.
All right. And this is inspired. I wrote this one, and then Michael, I wrote the lyrics and he put the music to it. And we'll do a shout out to Violeta Parra.
And we'll have to Google to find out who that is.
Yeah, she's huge. She has artwork in the Louvre and a movie.
Violeta Parra. P-A-R-R-A.
P-A-R-R-A.
There you go. And this one is called La Telaraña, and we will do an abbreviated version for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mira, mira cómo brilla la telaraña el sol de la madrugada. Las gotitas de agua, así como cristales maravillosas. Así, así pasa el tiempo, baja el sol, la oscuridad de noche. Cielo lleno de estrella, con la luna luminosa. Así, día así. Pasa el tiempo, baja el sol, la oscuridad de noche. Cielo lleno de estrella con la luna luminosa. Sale, sale la arañita chiquitita, pero envenenosa. Con sus besos de dolor, que si te atrapa, mata su amor.
Can I do something for the holidays really fast for y'all?
Sure. Oh, we would love it.
All right. Let's do coal in your stockings. Christmas is too commercial, I told my friend Herschel, as I was waiting to sit on Santa's lap. I sat on the jolly fellow, and he said hello. And this is what he said to me. He said, coal in your stockings will be diamonds in the morning, but only if you believe in me. Although you're getting older and the world may seem a bit colder, you must always have faith in Christmas Eve. 'Cause all the bells are ringing and all the kiddies are singing and I'm a ding-a-ling-a-ling, no way. Yes, ribbons and bows, it's licit ho-hos, and all the carolers are gay. So I looked at that dime store Santa and I said, give me a break. I'm too old to believe that fairy tale pie in the sky. He chuckled as he spoke. He said it wasn't a joke. He said, coal in your stockings will be diamonds in the morning, but only if you believe in me. Although you're getting older and the world may seem a bit colder, you must always have faith in Christmas Eve. 'Cause all the bells are ringing and all the kiddies are singing and I'm a ding-a-linging away. Yes, ribbons and bows, illicit ho-hos, and all the carolers are gay.
Yay! What a great Christmas present.
Thank you. Thank you, Tammy.
Brown. Thank you're so Michael. Fantastic. Michael Caddy.
Caddy.
Is that Italian?
Yeah, it's Italian. I have descendants from northern Italy. From Piedmontese.
But you're from Mexico.
No, I was born in Long Beach.
Ah.
I'm just a big mutt. I got it all.
I love it. Tammy Brown, Michael Caddy, it's a pleasure having you guys on together. And hopefully one day we'll get to see you in person.
And performing.
It's
going
to happen.
It'll happen.
It will happen. It will happen.
It will happen in this next new year.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy, it's so good talking to you. We wish you nothing but the best, and we adore you, and it's great to get to know you better.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
And drag on.
Let's keep on rolling and racing.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Kisses.
Tammy Brown lives in Long Beach, California, and you can check her out at Tammy with an I-E. TammyBrown.net and learn out where she's going to be performing next. If you're in California, we highly recommend actually checking out her live show. It's actually quite good.
I can't wait to see it. I hope she takes it on a tour here.
It'll be coming around the country. Yeah. She'll be coming around the country.
I love a drag
comes.
Queen that can sing too.
Yeah, especially it's kind of folky.
Yeah. So like, in some ways, it kind of reminded, when I first met you, you were kind of singing Spanish songs.
Tammy Brown and I are soul sisters. Yeah, yes,
you guys are
absolutely
kind of cut from the same cloth.
We're both absolutely cut from the same cloth. So it's really nice to see somebody else doing all the hard work that I was doing 10 years ago. You know, it's nice. It's very validating to see other people doing and interested in the same things that you've been interested in the past and doing so well and succeeding so well.
I know, because it's just, she's top of her game.
Yeah. So Tammy Brown, check her out. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. This is listener-supported programming, and there's no advertising here. Well, except for Tammy Brown. Buy her music on iTunes, will you?
It's available.
It's there.
Because we can't do the shows without your help. So please sign up at feastoffun.com/plus and get an account today.
Because we actually do 5 awesome podcasts 5 days a week, not just this type of programming. It's available only to our exclusive subscribers. And so you sign up there. feastoffun.com/plus, and you upgrade your account and you get your own private podcast and a private podcast feed that will enrich you, entertain you, and illuminate you in exciting new ways.
Because where else are you going to get programming like that we just had?
Yeah, not even Logo wants to do it. And they actually had her in the home in their studio. And they were like, edit her to make her sound like she was, you know, on acid. Was she on acid? No, obviously not. But, you know, listen, with good editing.
What would it be like to do acid with Tammy Brown? I bet it would be freaky.
It would be interesting, that's for sure.
We'd have to do it in the desert.
And naked.
Yes.
At Burning Man. Oh, remember, folks, Christmas is just around the corner, and you know what's a great present but a Feast of Fun subscription? Just buy one or make a donation, and we'll help you set it up so your friend can log on and get their own personal podcast deliciousness.
And tomorrow we're putting out our special podcast with the Incredibly Strange Music Volume 5.
The full title is Incredibly Strange Christmas Music.
Okay.
It's not just any kind of music.
It's Christmas music.
But it's strange, twisted, demented, god-awful, really just the worst of Christmas has to offer in a delightful way.
Wait till you hear Tom Goss's song.
Boy. We actually don't play a lot of the songs in full length because some of them are just atrocious. Worth maybe 15 seconds. You know, and it's like, you know, you're not going to hear Tammy Brown's Coals into Diamonds. Coal into Stockings is the name of the song, right?
I thought it was a lovely song.
It's a beautiful song. It definitely does not deserve to be on Incredibly Strange Christmas Music. Or maybe it does. I don't know. But so we have a lot of interesting music that you've never heard before for a good reason. And we'll be reading it. The library will be open tomorrow, and you can listen to all the incredibly strange Christmas music only on Feast of Fun.
And we've got t-shirts for sale at feastoffun.com/store. Get yours today, because those also help to produce these shows.
So we, from the bottom of our hearts and through the holiday seasons, we wish you a fantastic holidays, and may you have a lot of good times with your friends and family, and not feel burdened by the season, and feel close to each other, and feel rich in love. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.